The Hard Shoulder on Newstalk.
With the all-new Nissan Juke. The coupe crossover by Nissan. Nissan. Innovation that excites.
Let's return to that story, though, in the news headlines that Eamon mentioned and those Exchequer returns. The Fianna Fáil TD and the Public Expenditure Minister, Michael McGrath, joins me now. Minister, thanks for taking the time. I suppose good and bad in there from your point of view. Can you talk us through the main things that stand out?
Good afternoon, Kieran. It's pretty much as expected in relation to the expenditure side. We have obviously a very significant number of people on the pandemic unemployment payment, though it is falling slowly. About 437,000 people now receiving the PUP, and we have a large number of people, between 350 and 400,000 people, on the employment wage subsidy scheme. So for the first 3 months of the year, between both of those schemes, the total payments would be of the order of €3 billion. So in overall terms, we are doing very well on the tax side, considering the restrictions that have had to be imposed on the economy. So the amount of tax collected in quarter one to the end of March is marginally above the amount collected for the same period last year, and that may surprise people. Particularly income tax and VAT, the returns have been quite strong, and I think it's a measure of the way a lot of people have adapted to the circumstances that we face. And then on the expenditure side, we are looking at significant expenditures, particularly in social protection. And so in overall terms, the expenditure is about €2.5 billion up on what it would have been for the same period last year. So an Exchequer deficit of €4.2 billion to the end of March, but on a rolling 12-month basis, which is a better measure, it stands at around €14 billion. So it's broadly in line with where we expected it to be.
And look, I think a lot of people listening would have expected fairly strong income tax returns, more evidence, as if we needed it, that those higher earners, middle to higher earners, have been fairly well insulated from the worst effects, the worst economic effects of COVID. But an increase in income tax returns, what do you put that down to?
Well, I think it is certainly a reflection of the fact that parts of the economy have continued to do well, in particular foreign direct investment. We know from the economic output statistics from last year that it was a very good year for exports again, and in pharma, in tech and the broader ICT sector, and food, and across a whole range of different areas. So that area remains very strong and was largely insulated from the impact of COVID. And of course, the impact in the jobs-rich areas of retail and hospitality and tourism was quite profound and continues to be, and they account for a very large proportion of the number of people on the PUP. But of course, the levels of pay across those sectors in general terms is much lower, and so the burden of income tax is much lower. So I think you have a number of moving parts. You certainly have sectors of the economy continuing to do well, but undoubtedly hospitality, retail, construction, tourism, aviation, all jobs related to those sectors are just devastated at the moment because of the pandemic and the restrictions.
We had a study recently out that suggested that while the economy would return to growth relatively quickly post-COVID, that there would be a legacy, an unemployment legacy, that would linger for a lot longer afterwards. Do you expect, this time next year, that you might well still be paying out some form of pandemic unemployment payment, despite, the pandemic being in the rearview mirror?
I think that undoubtedly there will be scarring effects, in that there will be people who lost their job as a result of the pandemic and that will not automatically return to work. And we know, for example, that of the 437,000 people currently on the PUP, about a quarter of them lost their job a year ago. They lost it in March of 2020 and haven't worked since because their job simply was no longer available. And so those jobs may not return, or some of them at least may not return. And so we are going to have to provide a lot of extra help to sectors of the economy to try to support the recovery. That's why we have indicated, for example, that the supports that are in place aren't going to end abruptly at the end of June. We will have a very ambitious national development plan where we will have a large public capital program for the next decade. Yeah. That will help to stimulate employment as well. And there is a very significant amount of funding now going into retraining, upskilling, additional apprenticeships, work placements, and so on. So once we get through the health effects of this pandemic, helping people to get back to work will be a top priority, because it won't all happen automatically. But we do know that some sectors and the number of people out of work is very responsive to the restrictions. So yeah, we would expect that once, you know, retail fully opens, once hospitality opens, the numbers on the pub will drop significantly, but it won't disappear. And so there will be a job of work to do to rebuild and repair the economy, and in particular different sectors that will have been damaged.
Yeah, you mentioned a couple of moments ago as well, foreign direct investment and a lot of the jobs that are associated with it and how well they've done, how well insulated they've been over the last year. How concerned are you about moves in the Biden administration that would, certainly on the face of it, seem to target places like Ireland?
Yeah, I mean, this is part of an evolving situation, really, over a period of time. Corporation tax, you know, is very much in focus internationally. We are part of the efforts that are underway through the OECD to agree on changes to the way that multinationals, digital companies in particular, pay corporation tax. And it is expected that there may well be agreement reached there in the coming months. I think from an Irish perspective, the certainty around our 12.5% rate has been the bedrock of our industrial policy, and I think we need to stick to that. But there is a move now towards a global minimum effective corporation tax rate. Yeah. It remains to be seen whether that will be achieved, and if so, what the rate will be. So there is change in the air, and it will have an impact on Ireland. Overall, we believe that our offering remains very strong, and I think that's evidenced by even some of the announcements that we've had in recent weeks. And I think of Stripe, I think of Intel, and many more, where major international investments have come our way. So tax is part of our offering, but it's certainly by no means the only part of it. Yeah. But we continue to monitor and are involved in the international moves that are seeking to bring about changes to the corporation tax environment.
Will the government sit down with teachers' unions and discuss the reasoning and rationale behind the vaccine rollout changes?
Yeah, we're more than happy to engage and to explain to unions and to teachers and all other frontline workers who have made the case that they should be prioritised in the vaccination programme. I mean, as you know, Kieran, the reason why the change came about last week was because the advice that the government received changed, and the advice from the National Immunisation Advisory Committee and from NPHET was that once we have inoculated the most vulnerable, the older people, those in nursing homes, frontline healthcare staff, that we should then move through the population on an age basis. Yeah. And I'm very conscious that so many different sectors have made the case for prioritisation. Childcare workers, carers, Gardaí, retail workers, you know, bus, taxi drivers, teachers, and many more have made the case. But the principal determinant of the advice that we have received is because age really is the largest factor in determining whether somebody becomes quite sick if they get COVID, yeah, whether they're hospitalised, or if it has fatal consequences.
The
so that is
unions,
the advice that we've received.
Yeah, the teachers' unions, the compromise they seem to have come up with is some sort of tandem approach, that you would go down through the ages and the rest of society, but do teachers on the side.
Well, I'm not sure how practical that is. The government decision has been made, and we are focused now on implementing the rollout of the vaccination programme as quickly as we possibly can. We are making a lot of progress. We will hit the 1 million doses mark in the next number of days. You know that the supply of the vaccines is going to increase dramatically through April, May and June. And we now are putting in place place, the infrastructure through our GPs, through our vaccination centres, the agreement that is in place with pharmacists. Thousands of healthcare professionals have been trained for the vaccination programme. So undoubtedly, the fastest and most efficient way of getting through the whole population is that once we have the most vulnerable done, to do it by age cohort. And that's the advice that we have received. Okay. And we intend to proceed with that.
Can I ask you about an article that appeared in the Irish Times? They published it last night. That's got a lot of attention today, about the level of transmission of the virus outdoors. 0.1% of cases, this report, based on data from the HSPC. Some of your party colleagues, including Jim O'Callaghan, pointing out that, look, this should be the green light for certain sectors being able to reopen a little bit earlier than planned. Do you agree with them?
So I think it's undoubtedly the case that outdoor activity is much safer, and that is why as part of the reopening programme that we have now agreed, the emphasis is on outdoor activity. And I would have heard Dr. Colm Henry, the Chief Clinical Officer, on the radio earlier on, and you know, he gave the informed interpretation of those numbers, and it was a more nuanced interpretation than we might perhaps otherwise hear. The figures represent the confirmed outbreaks, and the number is very, very low, which is representative of the fact that it is much safer for people to meet up outdoors. But that's why the focus of the reopening programme is on outdoor activity, and it is on the ability of, you know, a return to outdoor sports, outdoor training activities for our kids later in the month. Would we like it to be sooner? Of course we would, Ciarán.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a parent as well. I'd love to see the kids back out playing as soon as possible. But the advice that we have received is that to do it in a phased and gradual way, with the emphasis on the outdoor activity, is the best way to do it. I think it would be, we need to be careful about placing too much reliance on one set of data. I mean, the HPSC data, you know, some months ago would also have indicated very, very low a number of outbreaks in hospitality, for example. The fact is that there is a high degree of community transmission that is untraced. About 20% of cases are...
I'm glad you mentioned, that's an indictment of your government, isn't it? I mean, we're a year into this and we're only starting to contact trace the source.
Well, no, I mean, the figures from the HPSC and from the health authorities have shown that about 20% of the transmission of the virus is in the community, and that they can't identify the origin of that. And when you have a high level...
But my point is, all the data we have on this, like, it all comes with so many caveats, because we don't regularly contract trace to source like they do in so many other countries. Like that, it is a shame that we're a year into this and we're only starting it. Well, it started it last week.
Well, we are doing that, and I would have heard Dr. Ronan Glynn, for example, make the point that in any country in the world where you have high level of community transmission, as we would have had up to relatively recently, that it was not realistic to trace every single
case
to an identifiable source. Sorry?
What about last summer when we had 10 cases a day?
Yeah, we had a very low level of community transmission, that is for sure. We have invested massive resources in test and trace. I mean, for example...
But maybe had started contact tracing to source back then, we wouldn't have found ourselves in wave two and wave three.
I think that's a simplistic way of looking at it. We now have over 900 people, for example, involved in contact tracing all the time. Where there are outbreaks, there is a very significant effort to identify the origin of that outbreak. But there have been points over the course of the handling of this pandemic where containment has been the focus because of the level simply being so high. But there is now significant retrospective tracing going on to get to the source of it. But it won't be possible in every case, and I don't think we should give people the impression that it is.
Minister for Public Expenditure, Michael McGrath. Minister, thanks for joining us here on The Hard Shoulder.